Welcome to Music Sunday. We have a full order of song and sharing this morning. Thank you to everybody who will be contributing something new and special here today. And thanks for everybody for just being here this morning, because with all of us here together, it will be special. The theme for the morning is new life. Rather than beginning with a reflection to focus us, my worship leading plan this morning is just to get out of the way and let the Spirit reveal to each of us the joy and meaning of new life through the songs and the sights and the words that we share here this morning. I don't intend to spend much time directing the service. For those of you who are listed in the order of worship, just get up and do your thing when the time comes. I do suggest that you pause for a moment after the song or contribution before you, so that we have time to breathe and reflect on what we just experienced, and so that this can be a prayerful time. So if you're wondering how much time you should pause, maybe count to 10 slowly. That's sort of a pause. Any questions before we get started?
What?
You're a ways into the service.
If I'm still up here, somebody say, "Hey, Jordan, you're up."
We're having a happening up here. This is sort of revealing as we go, right? Okay, let's stand and experience the joy and miracle of new life.
Yonder come day is a breaking.
Yonder come day.
Be seated and turn to number 299 in the hymnal. The number is wrong in the order. It's 299.
Thank you.
since this is a time process, I feel like I'm seeing the way music works, but a visual thing. It's in process. I'm really enjoying it, even though you may not be. I am. Oh, well, I was looking this week through my old Central American materials for something on New Life and found what evidently is English translation of a bunch of songs. So I don't know the Spanish music on this, but one is called La Nueva Vida, New Life. And I thought, well, we can, I can read that in English. The New Life. The dawning sun rises watchfully to greet the verdant hills. Blue mountains, the landscape awakes. The hands of men toil the furrows of hope. Upright women knead, K-N-E-A-D, knead their dough without complaint. New life. Children filled with dreams walk with pure clarity. Their unrestrained smiles steadily grow, breaking the darkness. The light of a huge fire has set the people aflame, leading them through the night. Calls unite with shared faith for the right to live. The new life.
Thank you. The week before Easter, we don't have any regular school. We just do an art project every day. So this art week, we did Vincent and Monet. But these flowers are all in Vincent's style. He used it straight from the tube, and so did we. Rosie loved that part. This is Ollie's sunflowers, mine, hyacinths, Charlie's sunflower explosion, and Rosie wants to talk about hers.
Mine is Rosie's.
Perfect for Rosie.
Thank you. I'm going to read a poem called First Sight by Philip Larkin. I'm pretty sure I've read this poem before in church because I love it. Also because Philip Larkin's usually very bleak and this is not. Lambs that learn to walk in snow, when their bleeding clouds the air, meet a vast unwelcome, know nothing but a sunless glare. Newly stumbling to and fro, all they find outside the fold is a wretched width of cold. As they wait beside the ewe, her fleece is wetly caked, there lies hidden round them, waiting too, earth's immeasurable surprise. They could not grasp it if they knew what so soon will wake and grow, utterly unlike the snow. So I think about this every springtime and how lambs or babies or whoever are experiencing spring for the first time. But I also think that God probably sees us like lambs stumbling in the snow, and God's just thinking, you have no idea.
This reading is from Colossians 3. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
So this is the last Sunday for our April missions offering, which will go to Venezuelan refugees being assisted by Mennonite churches in Colombia and Ecuador. And this is all via MCC. So as we are celebrating new life here, there are people starting new lives in other countries. And some of what the churches there are helping them with is job skills or just finding jobs and work in their new settings. And then we've talked some about what some of the other funds are going for as far as meeting basic needs. So thank you for your contributions to that.
My 100-word story is really a 300-word story, so it needs pruning. And like with all my pruning projects, it's just not quite done. My past month has been a time of pruning. Kanga, the uninvited kitty, was pruned from the household a couple weeks ago. Number one cat, Nugget, was pulling her fur out. There was always the clatter of something falling, and the amazing and memorable agony of feline fertility because she came into heat during her stay at the house. Ah, the joy a kitten brings. Ah, the chaos of a fertile world. Pruning is a goodbye, a sacrifice of an individual life in order that life with a capital L can thrive. The other pruning is more familiar, my fruit trees. Many beautiful blossoms went into the brush pile. Some made it into the house, and some made it here to the church. While it's fun to strategize where to cut off a branch, the knowledge that a new blossom was consigned to die because it grew inward rather than outward seems cruel. The lesson that new life will survive but not thrive unless it is cared for, unless it has less competition for nutrition than nature can provide, sobers me. Letting nature do its thing has become more suspect to me as the years go by. Nature's uncontrollable fertility to this human's eye leads to needy, hungry, small, and probably suffering plants and certainly animals. Hence a human role, reducing unbounded fertility. I don't read that explicit task in Genesis, although Adam was placed to tend the garden. But biblical references imply that pruning is needed for plants and for us. John's Gospel is our most famous biblical guide for the value of pruning, with God as the one who wields the pruning shears. I've never thought of this as an image of God. But that's where those texts take us. Jesus himself said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, my Father takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit." He himself said he was pruned by God. Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me."
There's a slight error in the order of service. It says origami cranes, but these are not cranes. These are butterflies. And I just counted as I was sitting, and there's more than 50. I didn't count them as I was folding them. And Sean folded a couple, and John folded a couple.
I'm folding one. Only one's up there.
Okay. Well, Sean has folded plenty that are around our house. But butterflies, for me, are a symbol of new life and of transformation, and so.
Like we learned about them, but in Sunday school.
Yeah. We had a system worked out to come in and just hang up the line and spread them out. We failed to take into account the wind when we carried the butterflies from the van to the church, so that's why you witnessed an hour and a half's worth of dedicated untangling by my dear husband. So I'm hoping that people will be okay if we leave them up for a little while, because now that we've spent so much time putting them up, I don't want to take them down.
Neither do I.
So, all right, let's go.
I wrote this, it'll be 4 years ago this coming week, so right around this time of year, and this will give you a picture of what it's like at our place sometimes. It's
It's called Somehow They Know. The Phoebe has returned to our porch. First, there were the frequent alightings and cockings of the head, the insistent, raspy name-calling, with perchings between times in the apple tree, just a few feet away, considering. Then the nest appeared almost overnight, small, tidy, its mud and moss enclosure looking even more than usually snug, tucked high in the rafters, out of the weather. About the same time, another prospective tenant came to check out the unit two rafters south. The robin flew in and out, sizing things up from the top of the well nearby, then began collecting grasses in earnest. Her nest was slower in taking shape, stray strands littering the steps below, but large and well-woven, deeper and wider than her neighbors. Now both mamas contentedly warm their eggs, tails held aloft, bright eyes watchful, only mildly wary of us. Sometimes they don't even fly to the apple tree when the cabin doors open, knowing, perhaps, that we are friends. More than landlords, less than grandparents, we too hold our breath, awaiting the safe arrival of downy heads, a cacophony of small beaks appealing for food, preparing. Preparing to fly from the nest.
A reading from The Revelations of Divine Love by Julian of Norwich. And I saw quite certainly that God loved us before God made us. And God's love has never diminished and never shall. And all God's works were done in this love. And in this love, God has made everything for our profit. And in this love, our life is everlasting. We had our beginning when we were made. But the love in which God made us was in God since before time began. And in this love, we have our beginning. And a reading from the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. Turn to number 109 in Sing the Journey. We will sing this as written, except for the last verse. We'll, after singing more love, more hope, more peace, more joy, we're going to loop back and sing more life. So life will be verse 5.
salt.